Mandy with Mobile Health Association.
Thanks for having me on, Mandy.
Thank you so much, Mandy. And truly, it's been a pleasure to get to know you.
Of course, to sponsor us to be a member of your organization.
Thank you very much, everybody, for joining. I'm excited to have you guys on.
I'm super excited to be here.
Thanks for having me, Mandy.
Hi everyone, it's Mandy with Global Hemp Association. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of our sponsors. It's been incredible working with each of you. Without you, we wouldn't be able to complete the projects that we have and get our seeds in the ground for this year's fiber variety trials. So thank you for everything that you've contributed. For anybody else, if you're interested in getting involved and want to contribute or sponsor, please reach out. We can make it happen.
Watching some of these commercials. It's been a long time since I've seen some of them, and I forget we're on Patreon and I never give that shout out either. So Joel, hello. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here, Mandy. I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to be on your platform, talk more about what we're trying to get done.
Heck yeah. I love that you're down in the South. And by the way, I have not been to Mississippi, and I keep telling Nick, one of our members, that I want to come down and spend some time down there. Never been to Louisiana either, or anybody, anywhere down there. So I will be taking my trip. Yes, yes. But welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for joining. I'm excited about this conversation today. I'm really excited about being back live. I hadn't been for a couple of days, and over the summer, we've been traveling a lot. And so I just realized how much I miss it and how much I enjoy the opportunity of getting to know everybody and getting to, you know, really dive into who people are and what they do and give you guys an opportunity to connect. So I encourage you guys, get on our YouTube channel, subscribe, and search different topics you're interested in and reach out. Build those relationships in our industry. Rising tide raises all boats. That's our goal. But Joel, before I get rambling too much, I'd love to hear from you. Tell the audience and tell our members who you are, what you do, and where you came from.
Okay, no problem. My name is Joel Holton. I'm the founder of Grow Enterprises. And Grow Enterprises is a social enterprise looking to provide healthier, sustainable, affordable housing using industrial-based building components in underserved communities of colors in Louisiana and Mississippi, really throughout the Gulf South region. We're excited with the startup venture to try to move more awareness in our region, specifically that these are healthier alternatives to conventional building methods and practices, to give those individuals and communities that have been really affected by the war on cannabis a fair opportunity to benefit from these healthier alternatives. We seek to really try to dive in and bring more educational awareness and also more, you know, hemp structures to our region.
Yeah. What was your aha moment? What got you into hemp? You know, what did you do before your hemp life?
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting story. My background is in restoration, remediation, and abatement work. So I own another company, and we do mold remediation, asbestos lead-based paint abatement, and water restoration. And I guess you can say I've been on the front lines of seeing what poorly developed building materials do to structures once they're affected by like water and pest damage. So I started to look into alternatives, healthier alternatives, different alternatives to building components. And I actually really stumbled across hemp building just doing a traditional YouTube search. Like it popped up. I saw a video. I think the team was working out of France on the video. And I was just watching it, and I was like, this is not real. And then another video came up, and it was a nonprofit out of Kentucky who were building affordable homes using hempcrete. And then I start diving in that night. I mean, it's 2 a.m. I go to sleep early. You know me. I'm in the bed early because I get up early. So it's 2:00 a.m. I'm reading more about hempcrete and these industrial hemp-based building components. And I'm like, there's no way they're pest resistant. There's no way they're mold resistant. There's no way they can mitigate humidity in a built environment. There's no way it could do all this, because if it was, why isn't every house being built out of these products? That was my takeaway.
All the time. Well, if it was this good, then why aren't we doing it?
Exactly. And it was like, this is too, you know, like your mom tells you, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But I just started diving deeper. And I think my first real deep dive was reaching out to the U.S. Hemp Building Association. Big shout outs to them.
Yes.
And this was like in the middle of 2019. So this has been some time trying to develop and learn and research more before we actually launched this new venture, because I wanted to make sure I had the right relationships and the right people who were willing to help me and to help this thing grow. No, you know, that's why we named it what it is. We want to see this thing grow in our region. Another one was when, so in talking to the U.S. Hemp Building Association, Mr. Eric McKee, I'm going to leave some people out. Don't forgive me. Cameron McIntosh, group of other people, Lady Mark Goldwire.
Yes.
A lot of great people were on that initial call with me and my architect, who's a buddy of mine as well. And they just start sharing information with us because they were excited, which made us more excited to understand, like, yeah, this is something that people are doing. And I think my other big ha moment was when I was actually able to go visit the PA Hemp House in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And Cam brought, said, man, you need to come up here. And I can actually see. And I came up there. He's like, you serious, ain't you? I was like, yeah. And if he hears this conversation, he'll remember when we were sitting in that parking lot at that hotel, just chopping it up, just talking.
I love it. So his name has come up twice. Yesterday's interview was the same, that he's been very, Cameron's been very influential.
Oh, he's that guy. He's that guy. Yeah. I hope he is. He's that guy. He's somebody that I really appreciate and respect in this industry. Like I said, we took the training with the E-Reese system back in April. But, you know, when I went to the PA Hemp House, he was like, bro, you really serious? You came up here. He said, ain't too many brothers out here in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I was like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm here. Like, I'm serious. Like, I want to know more. And, we want to connect with those allies that we know really want to see the industry move forward with no ego and no headache. And they want to bring people in who are qualified and can understand what it's going to really take to get things done. And it's a big shout out. That's my guy, man.
That's awesome. Well, yes, I agree. I'm going to second that because his name keeps coming up. For those of you who haven't watched, we have interviewed Cameron. So there is an interview on our YouTube channel. Go out and check it out. I do want to say hello to Daryl and Tosh and Todd. They've been chiming in. Daryl said, hello, Joel. It's great to see you, sir. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yes, for sure.
Definitely. And then like Tosh said, also, you know, it's the question that everybody's been asking. Why hasn't this already been done? It's too good to be true. So after your visit in Pennsylvania, tell me about what this process has looked like. Where are you at now? Yeah. What are you doing now?
Yeah, I think the PA Hemp House is the model. Big shout out to Lori Daitner too as well, with Don Services, you know, because she orchestrated how to get this done with like a public-private collaboration and funding.
Yeah.
The Department of Agriculture, she really shared the blueprint of how they did it, where they're at. And it was tremendous because it was like people are already figuring this out. All I got to do is align myself in this venture with the right people who can kind of guide what we need to do here in Louisiana. So right now, we're at the phase, this is a new venture, really at startup stage, but we have some good things coming in the pipe in 2023, early 2023. We're trying to finalize some strategic partnerships as well with suppliers and just consultants that can guide us on how we want to move and what products that we want to bring to the marketplace here in South Louisiana and South Mississippi. So those things are happening literally as we speak. We're going to be at the Black Cannabis Conference and Expo in New Orleans tomorrow doing a breakout session at 3 o'clock. So if you're anywhere near New Orleans, come on down. It's going to be good. We're going to be talking about hemp building and green infrastructure to mitigate stormwater. So that's a key component in the Gulf South. If you're building something new, what are you going to do when we have when we're in flood prone areas where we have to start mitigating rainwater and just being a better steward of the earth in general, and how we can make communities, underserved communities, healthier and safer. Because we know when these events happen, most times it's those communities that suffer the most and they have the longest road to recovery. So we have to bring this to the forefront. And our community partner, big shout out to Dr. Angela Chalk with Healthy Community Services in New Orleans, because she is who put this retrofit together at her learning facility. She wanted to partner with us and made the investment and believed in what I was talking about. So in New Orleans, if you talk about it, you got to be about it, as we say. You know what I'm saying? You got to walk the walk. That's why we grind and trying to get this done. So we will, after the convention, we'll have a bus ride over to the Learning Center, and we'll be able to walk people through the Learning Center retrofit, where we use hempcrete in the wall and we're using hemp wool in the ceiling. And people will be able to see that. And that's when I know more questions will start to come. And people, once they see it, let's like for myself, once I saw it and can feel it, the questions start coming. Big shout out to Hempitecture as well.
I love having you on. You're like calling out all the great
people. I'm a team guy.
Love this.
I tell you, I'm a team guy. I grew up in sports. I'm all about teams. I know I do the best work on a good team. I don't need no praise. I just want to get the job done and celebrate and be on the right team. So
I love it.
That'll be a theme through this whole conversation, the people who have helped us get to this point and the people that are going to help us move it forward, because we do it all together, because we're going to grow together. You know, it's not about me at all. Trust me.
I love this. Okay, so I want to talk real quick. We briefly mentioned some of the benefits to the hemp wool or the hempcrete that you're using, right? Where is it really playing a conversation or role in the conversation around the rainwater mitigation and the, I would assume, mold? Can you kind of speak about how have those conversations gone, especially for people that are also looking to either build or, you know, grow a business similar to yours in the same regions or same climates?
Oh yeah. Right now, in the city of New Orleans, I believe it's happening today. There's a vote in front of the city council about the Healthy Homes Ordinance. And what that is more about is the fact that a lot of property owners after our storms don't properly mitigate and repair the properties, thus forcing citizens, mostly lower income citizens, community members of color, to live in these unsafe, unhealthy environments with mold, mildew, water damage, and things like that. So my suggestion and the goal of GROW is to say, hey, let's start building these units out of healthier materials from the start that can be more resistant to moisture, mold, thermal performance, these type of things from the design stage, instead of trying to retro. And then also post-disaster, if we do have to remove conventional building products, let's start retrofitting these properties with these new alternative materials that will be more resistant in the future, which could save a lot in the recovery process and post-disaster process. So that's where the conversation is now, because we struggle, all of our buildings down here in New Orleans struggle with high heat, humidity, and pest issues like termites and things like that. So if we're using components that are naturally resistant to those things, we got to do it. But I think the biggest problem is people just don't know that this alternative exists, just like I didn't know. And I try to be on top of things like that. But that's part of the mission of GROW, is to be a highly functioning educational resource for communities, especially underserved communities where information tends to trickle down a little later than in other areas. We want to be on the forefront of helping push hemp and hemp industry forward in our region. And like I tell anybody, I don't want to be the only person down here doing this. I want other people to come in and say, hey, I think this is something we can build on and work together, because I want to create a system that can be rinsed and repeated in any community in our area.
I love this. Okay, so I want to speak specific to some of the challenges in the BIPOC community, you know, around funding and around availability to these resources, and where, you know, where can we that may not be emerged in that community really step up to provide support and to help bridge those gaps?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's just common knowledge that BIPOC-led firms have issues with funding, resources, and different things like that, and just sustainability over time. So my key point to those questions is, please raise your hand and let us know that you want to help. You know, please reach out and, you know, and say, hey, I like what you're trying to do. How can I be of service? This is what I can help you with. This is my area. Because that's what we're going to have at the breakout session tomorrow at the Black Cannabis Conference and Expo. It's going to be diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's going to be a group of individuals who all have different skill sets that want to help and share information. Big shout out to my boy Matt Marino with Homeland Hempcrete. He's down. He's packing hemp for me right now so I can talk to you.
That is so awesome. Thank you.
That's my guy. That's what I said. I just want to get around the people who want to see this really grow and move forward, and just share the information with me. And how can we have some kind of mutually beneficial you know, situation to where we all do what we need to do. We all make money. We all are profitable. But more than profits is the impact on people and communities. That's our number one goal over profits.
That's why
we formed a social enterprise. We're not focused. If we wanted to just be real estate developers, we would not have formed it the way we did. We want to make sure we're making more of an impact with education, workforce development, and sustainability than just making money.
I love it. Okay, I want to give a shout out to some of the people that are listening in. There's lots of questions. One question is, will insurance cover the hempcrete? And then Daryl later said that any permitted building is insurable. Were there some of these challenges that you faced as you started to dive into this project?
Well, yeah, that was one of the questions that a lot of people ask about insurance. And if you're in Louisiana right now, post Hurricane Ida, insurance is probably number one on your list of things to think about, because we're having insurers leave the marketplace. It's harder to get coverage, but we feel like if we can explain to them how hempcrete, hemp wool, and these other materials will be more resistant after a storm, or more sustainable, to where we don't have to tear out everything or demo everything, we think we can get the insurance companies to get more intrigued with what we're trying to do, and maybe push other homeowners to use these products in their bills, or maybe their post-disaster restorations. So on November the 29th here in New Orleans, we're going to have another lunch and learn with the Home Builders Association of New Orleans, where we really get in front of some of the bigger players and say, hey, you want to know what hempcrete is? It's right there on that wall. Go touch it, feel it, smell it, and then start asking me questions. You see that hemp wool insulation right there? Go lay on it, put your face on it, touch it, feel it. Let me know what you think. Because you know you can't do that with traditional.
Right. I can't imagine us being in a meeting and being like, hey, now everybody go rub your face on the pink.
These are the things that we know in our region make a difference. When people can feel it, touch it, and understand it a little bit more, and have those more intimate conversations about, you know, the products and the methodology, the innovation. So that's what we want to push. The Black Cannabis Expo and Conference has Christy Price. Big shout out to Christy Price. She is that one that you need on your team. That's all I'm going to say. And she gave us the space to come in and to do what we're doing. Want to give another big shout out to Anne-Marie Sherrell with Cannabisiac. So, which is a business incubator for BIPOC-led firms that want to get in this cannabis space. So she took the idea of grow from just a concept that I had and to formalize it into what you see now, where we're actually on the ground, we're a startup venture, and we're starting to try to get projects in the pipeline to do going into 2023. So big shout out to those two women who have been instrumental in getting us to where we're at now and to move forward and to continue in those relationships and just keep growing it. There's a reason it's called Grow Enterprises. There's a lot of areas that we want to see growth in our community, especially when it comes to healthy living and sustainability.
Awesome. Okay, so there have been quite a few questions that came in.
Okay, cool.
Both from Tosh and Kathy. Well, a lot of them are about the structural aspects of hempcrete. Okay. And I want to kind of address it really quickly, that yesterday we did an awesome interview that talked a lot about this and then actually showed with blocks where it's being used in both steel structure and wood frame or timber frame homes, and that it is an insulative property, as well as the lime, I'm having a brain fart.
The lime binder?
Not the binder, the finish.
Oh, the plaster finish.
Yes. Plaster, thank you. I could not think of the finish and how it's applied and some of those benefits. And so hempcrete itself is not structural, but people are building with structural components, right? Steel rods or the wood, like I said, timber frame and so forth. Yes. There's another question on here really addressing the termites in your area. You know, what is preferred for building structure in your area, specifically with hempcrete?
Yeah, so the first part of that question, we are promoting hempcrete purely as an insulating material, just to kind of avoid some of the restrictions that may be imposed based on our building codes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the first part of that. Now, when it comes to termites and those type of pests in our environment, a lot of times the termites come as a result of some kind of moisture intrusion into the framing of the home or the structure of the home. So it's like moisture then termites. So you telling me I can have a product that helps eliminate moisture, mold, and the termites? We got a solution there. And that's the thing. We have to find ready solutions that are already in use to continue to, you know, build these healthier homes. You know, we got to get away. Like I tell anybody here in Louisiana, we got to get away from what we know, because we know what we know is not working. It's not working. Like, you know, Louisiana is number 50th in a lot of categories. You know why? Because what we're doing is not working.
Yeah.
That's not a winner's mentality to just be in the game.
You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, right?
And I'm very inspired by Mr. Gary Chambers. If you're going to vote the U.S. Senate election in Louisiana, please vote for Brother Gary Chambers. I'm hoping to get the opportunity to meet this good brother during the conference. He's the keynote opening speaker at the Black Cannabis Expo and Conference today. He might be speaking right now. And I just want him to know, if he sees this, I echo a lot of your sentiments of how to move Louisiana forward, especially when it comes to the cannabis and hemp industries being a key player moving forward in the economic redevelopment of our community. So, you know, I don't get too political on any level, but that when I see somebody that's trying to do something different and they're passionate about it, I'm going to support it. I don't want anybody around me that doesn't have passion. I don't care what it's about. If you're passionate, I want you around me. If you kind of ho-hum, you won't see the future.
Isn't it refreshing, the passion that the hemp industry brings out?
Yeah, it was refreshing. It was refreshing for me, because I come from a construction background, and sharing information and trade secrets is not something that is usually done. It's quite the opposite a lot of times. People like to keep you under their thumb and limit what you know. And when I reached out to the U.S. Hemp Building Association, it was the total opposite. That's how I knew I was in the right space with the right people.
I love it. So
we're going to just keep pushing it.
That's the key, right? If we're going to get this done, we've got to share the education and knowledge. Can you speak a little bit about the consumer awareness? And then I'd like to kind of go back also to the specific question around funding and BIPOC. You know, what are some of those?
Yeah. Well, consumer awareness is kind of low where we at here in New Orleans and South Mississippi and Louisiana. That's why we understand that workshops and outreach, these components of the business are going to have to be instrumental to get a consumer awareness up so they know that there's alternatives. I think there's a lot of people in our region who would love to use these products, but they're just not aware that they're available or that this is an alternative. And that's some of the main point that we're going to try to get out tomorrow during the breakout session, because we have invited a lot of realtors, real estate brokers, real estate professionals, construction professionals to come out and say, hey, there's alternatives here. There's better products to use. There's healthier products. There's more natural products. They're products that will actually save your clients money over time with the mm-hmm. thermal performance of the products and different things like that. So it's imperative that we spend as much time trying to do community outreach and raise the awareness of consumers. And, you know, I understood that. That's why I took my time before launching this venture. This has been a couple years in the making. COVID actually helped me a lot because it made me have to sit down in my other business and not be able to go anywhere and really start reaching out to people around the country and around the world to get information. So, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like the timing is right, because the conversation in our city is about healthy homes. And that conversation is happening today. And it's like, well, if you truly want healthier homes, you have to start building them out of healthier materials. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the point. You can't put all the onus on the property owner to do certain things if they don't understand that there's different alternatives that will also save them money in the long run and headache over the long run to use these products. So
it's important. It's even, like you said, this lack of maybe education or awareness as a home buyer, right? I just assume that it's the most efficient, that my home is being built the most efficient way.
Exactly.
That's not right. And so there's these assumptions and this disconnect in processes that I think hemp has unfolded for me and unfolded for a lot of people, you know, and brought this awareness around, like you said, the health of our home or the healthiness of the home.
Yeah, definitely post-COVID, I can't say post-COVID, but during this pandemic, we know we spend a lot of time
in
our houses. So we spend about 90% of our total time inside the built environment, whether it's at work or at home. So you have to understand that constant barrage of toxicity and VOCs that's off-gassing out of those components is entering your body. So if we can eliminate that in our built environments and start using hemp-based products and components, then we know that we've eliminated a hazard pretty much from our built environment. And that's why we need to really start pushing the awareness. We know, we understand that, like I said, education is going to be a major component. Consumer and property owners and developers, construction professionals as well, more aware that these alternatives exist. And if you do have clients that are seeking these out, then it's there and we can help you source those. And we can, you know, we're going to keep sharing information the same way others have shared with us. You know, we're going to keep the ball moving downfield to make sure that there's more. Like I said, I don't want to be the only person in Louisiana or Mississippi doing this. I want to be one that promotes that more people get involved. This is the time to make a change. I think we're at a point in our country's history where we realize that we need to take more control and ownership of our supply chain and start producing more and start doing more inside these borders to help the local economy.
Otherwise, our children and our children's children are going to be in trouble.
They won't stand a chance.
Yes. Okay. So There's some questions I want to address really quick. I see Ernie has been fabulous. Thank you so much for joining. And I was curious along these lines also about what available data is out there so that when you're educating and when we're promoting to really drive consumer demand and consumer awareness about the benefits of these alternative materials, what data is out there? And have you done small side-by-side building comparisons with conventional building materials?
Yes. So that's a great question. So one of our strategic partners, Matt Marino with Homeland Hempcrete, is actually, he's in the process. They have built a side-by-side hemp build right next to one with conventional building products. And they're actually monitoring and collecting data from the performance of those two side-by-side buildings to be able to share that with us moving forward. So it's kind of, some of this stuff is actually happening right now. Big shout out to Matt and his team for being able to pull that off and to really be a true source of information by doing these comparative builds and then just sharing that information with us and what we could do. We actually had a conversation last night about the information, because some of the information is more pertinent to us here in South Louisiana, like how much moisture passes through those walls, because we deal with such high heat and humidity in this region for sustained periods of time, that if we can start regulating the moisture that comes into that built environment and also filtrating that air and moisture that comes through there, then that's kind of a game changer in our region. Because one thing I realized when I went to the PA Hemp House, I went in June, it was about 90 degrees outside. And when we walked into the structure, it was about 72 degrees inside that structure. And nothing was up but the spray insulation and the framing. And the temperature never changed the whole 2 hours we were in that building. I know the temperature changed outside, but it didn't change inside that. So that, for me, told me a couple of things. It's like, first of all, one, you need to get on this. Two, this is a game changer in the sense of being more, using less energy and cooling a house. So in our region, it's like, it's not so much about heating because we don't really have a true winter. It's more about those 6 to 7 months where you're trying to cool that structure down and using less energy and being able to regulate the humidity in that environment, which will also help you regulate the temperature and the comfortability of the environment in general. So that type of data is something that we're definitely waiting to get from Matt and his team and work with them on doing more. Homeland Hempcrete, I saw something come up. They're actually in Bismarck, North Dakota. And he's the man too. That's another guy along with Cam for me who really is training me and teaching me and sharing the information that we need to be successful here in New Orleans. So, like I said, you're going to hear me shout out a lot of people because it's about the team. It's about the group of people who really want to see this grow and move forward and not try to hold and hog tie all the information and the fame and the pass on. But I don't need none of that. I just want
none of us are going to get anywhere if we do that.
Yeah.
We are entering industries that have been established for years with trillions of dollars invested into their infrastructure. And so to think that we can scale and become a mainstream product alone, you're crazy.
The thing about it, they know that this is a better alternative. They've been
yes,
there.
Yes.
That's why they're scared. See, people don't get scared if they're like, oh, well, that's not. That's
are they scared or is it now a reality? Because I hear this over and over again, and I'm sure that there's two extremes, right? But I keep hearing, people that have worked with the big chemical companies and worked in the plastics and the petroleum, that say, like, we need to do something to fix, for my own conscience and for what I didn't know, now we know. We have to make a shift. We have to make a change for what's better for our planet, for what's better for our people. And for the first time, we have an opportunity to be more sustainable and profitable, right? Yeah. We can do this and it can be something, right? It is going to take a paradigm shift and it is going to take an adjustment in the way things are done. But we've got to be able to
get you can do good and make good money too. That's kind of one of my mottos. You can make the impact and make good money. But I also think that it's key to realize, like you said, like a restorative type of justice. It's also key that we realize that certain communities have been more disinvested and disenfranchised than others. And we need the assistance of our allies to come in and say, hey, this is something that we might want to do. And I think these communities need to be first in line to receive these benefits because we were first in line to get the consequences. So it's kind of, I don't like really using the word social equity in a sense, because I feel like you can create your own social equity if you have the right group of people with a sense of group economics that can help each other generate the economic mm-hmm. recovery that's needed. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. So there was a couple of questions. One, did we talk about the fire retardant aspects? We did briefly. Do you want to touch on that just a little bit? Like, where is it comparing to some of the other materials?
So we know there's been, hemp protection has done a lot of testing with the fire resistance of hempcrete and these materials. So we know it actually is more fire resistant than conventional, building components and different things that people are using every day now. So, you know, like I said, the benefits outweigh the cost to me. You know, a lot of people, that's the main thing I'm hearing. How much does this cost? How much does this cost? How much does this cost? It's like, well, let's start asking another question. How much value, how much value, how much value am I bringing to something?
Because was really put into perspective for me, and something that, again, is this education piece where I was disconnected. Way back when, and I don't want to quote dates or time frames or exact numbers, but point is, years ago, you could build a home, and if you had, say, a minute, for example, and a certain period of time to get out of the home before you died, basically, right? If the house caught on fire, you had so much time. Today, that time is shrunk to seconds before damage happens. Right? That is something that, again, looks back to the value, the long-term value to that dollar versus that transaction, that transition. And, you know, the interview yesterday, we talked a little bit about this also. You may have $20,000 more in your upfront cost, but over how long do you save in heat and power and gas bill, your utilities, let alone its safety components and health components that are added to it. And so,
I think the question that consumers and developers and everybody needs to ask yourself, if you pose it like this, if I could tell you that if you spend an extra $25,000 this year, over the 30-year life of that mortgage, you would save $300,000, would you make that $25,000 investment? Probably so. You see what I mean? So it's like, it's all in how you look at it. And we understand that economics plays a huge part in everything we do, especially in underserved communities. So that's why we're really looking for strategic partnerships that can help us find grant funding and philanthropic funding in order to collaborate together so we can fill some of those gaps in the upfront construction and development costs of these projects. You know, so that's, you know, this is, it's paramount that we know that there's a way to find a solution to offer affordable, safer, healthier housing to individuals who traditionally wouldn't be able to access them. So, and I think affordable housing is something that's on everybody's mind right now with the price of housing across the country, specifically in New Orleans. We're basically getting priced out of this city. And we got to do something about it. Those who care about this city and this region, especially post Katrina, we've got to do something about it from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, any allies that are wishing to participate and help, please just raise your hand, reach out and say, hey, I think I could bring something to the table. And let's start sitting down and having these conversations, because I don't know who to ask for help until they let themselves be known. You know, so we have to get there. And I think we're getting there. I think the hemp industry is an industry where it's going to be a little bit different than big, mainstream cannabis, because there are so many individuals looking to share information and to help others out.
Okay, so speaking of grants, as an association, this is a topic that comes up a lot, and there is a lot of money a lot of money available right now to address some of these issues or some of these concerns that we're talking about. And so we put together a committee where we're going to start reviewing grants and building teams and helping to support. JHA has a fabulous grant writing team. We've got a number of people through our, you know, through our association that have been funded for grants. And so we'd love to, I'd love to invite you, come and sit down. You know, if you see grants that come to the table and you're missing pieces or not sure where to go next, reach out to us and see if we can start putting projects together. Each of us have parts to play, and each of these grants are requiring partnership and collaboration, and they're big picture projects. And so, Joel, I'd love to support you on this, and I'd love to, you know, put anybody else also.
That, oh, man, I love that, and I appreciate that. And that's the, these are the conversations that we need to have. We need to understand, like, who's willing to help and who's willing, you know, where you're weak at, I may be strong where I'm, you know, vice versa. You know, so those are the things that I know I need help with. And as an organization, we need help with, because we do know there's monies out there, but where do we start and who do we collaborate with, and who is really looking to see underserved communities have their own sense of equity. And like, we want to rebuild and do better for ourselves as well. Like, you know, we're not waiting. We know waiting on the government to do certain things is just not probably going to happen. So we have to internally understand what we need to do in order to provide, you know, a safe, healthier house, housing units for, you know, our community, you know, and just trust the fact that there are great individuals who want to help and also see that same vision come to pass. So, you know, I appreciate that, Mandy. Like I said, I haven't known you very long, but I go with my gut on a lot of things, and I can just feel when people are genuine and real, and that's all I need. I just need people to be themselves and be genuine and real, and we can do a lot together just with that.
You know, what's been amazing is how the conversation and being able to breed collaboration through conversation has helped to weed out a lot of those players.
Yeah, because your energy is not right.
Yeah, well, so, and people talk, right? You start talking, and pretty soon people start to figure out who's done right and who hasn't. And we look at what's important and taking care of the people and our farmers and, you know, people that had their hand in these projects, those still are equally as important. And so surrounding yourself, you know, the saying birds of a feather flock together is no joke. And so,
yeah, no, it's very true, especially down south. Good people know good people deal with good people. And we know, like, you know, people that know that come to me and, you know, have questions or want to work, they know, first of all, Joe's going to be fair, and he's going to do everything he can to see the project be successful, you know. So those key things, you know, all the personality stuff and all that, it's not as important to me as it is to others, because I don't have to fall in love with you to get stuff done with you. You see what I mean? Like,
but we can respect each other and not.
You got to respect and you got to work.
Yeah.
That's it. If you got good respect for each other and that good work ethic and you want to put it down, you can get it done. That's it. We keep it simple. Because to go back to my man Cameron, man, he got me up there to Pennsylvania for the Erizi training, and I actually was able to work with that wand and that instrument and that equipment. I knew. I said, yeah. I said, bro, you're a dog, because this is real work. This ain't, you know, like, this is, you've been putting it down for a minute. And that respect level just grew, you know, and that's it. It's just being able to have certain conversations with individuals and spending some time getting to know people for who they are at their core is going to push this industry forward. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the good people who are going to also be impactful and profitable. You know, that's what
when people say all the time, well, I want to get into the hemp industry. I always say, well, what drives your passion?
Yeah.
What about your life or what you know is really fueling your fire? Because hemp plays a role in it. It'll touch anything, right? Yeah. We can put it in that spot. So it really is. It's about what, you know, who gets behind it. I think that's where the passion comes from. I want to really quick go back to Ernie made a comment again, and Ernie, thank you. I'm glad you kind of picked up what I was trying to say. So house fires today, a fully involved or fully engulfed house fire today can be as quick as 12 minutes. Old school stick builds would be in excess of 20 estimated times, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we add hemp to this, and now we give our family or our, you know, pets more time to get out of a fire or to, you know, even leave the home standing. I just can't imagine the impact or the difference that we would be facing, the different scenarios we'd be facing in places like Louisiana or California or, you know, some of these areas that are just wiped out by fire. So,
yeah. You know, a lot of the mission of Grow Enterprises is more about health and safety. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've scaled it down to those kind of components. Like, we want people in a healthier home, mm-hmm. and a safer environment. So mm-hmm. if we can start eliminating flood-prone areas from flood waters, that's a safety issue. If we can use components that will not ignite and combust as quickly as conventional components, that's a safety component. So everything comes back to kind of a health, safety, and wellness ideology of why we're doing what we're doing. I think a lot of people, you know, get introduced to hempcrete and these hemp-based building components, and it's like, man, that's cool. I didn't know you could do that with the plant. I didn't know that this was an alternative. And it's like, yeah, because it's a healthier, safer alternative. And that's where we try to steer the conversation. Like, you know, we're talking about health, safety, and wellness more so than just building houses or developing properties and projects. So, you know, that's the core of our mission and our vision, to see underserved communities in healthier and safer environments.
I love it. No, we as a society have no problem investing additional money into sprinkler systems, like Ernie just said, or solar panels that will long-term save us money, right? What we're doing is actually starting at the build of the home and adding these so that then this home no longer needs some of these additional additives or may, but then would even add additional benefits, right, that even surpass. And so,
yeah,
that's
it actually begins in the design stage.
And the
pre-construction stage, where we're examining why, like, we understand that green infrastructure and the hemp building components, they work in tandem, because what the green infrastructure installation is going to do is going to help mitigate flooding on the property. But we also know that the hemp building, hemp-based components is going to help mitigate moisture in the built environment. So both components are helping to eliminate water hazards or water-related hazards. So they work in concert together. That's why our collaboration with Healthy Community Services and WaterWise Gulf South, two nonprofits here in New Orleans who are pushing neighborhoods and community members to be more aware of, like, green infrastructure installations like rain barrels, bioswales, rain gardens, things that can help retain water and mitigate flooding on their property. Because right now in New Orleans, I'll be honest with everybody listening, we're having some major issues just with average thunderstorms. You know, it's cutting off certain areas of the city, you know, where you can't even travel. Like, one time I was, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we had a heavy downpour and I was trying to get from New Orleans East back over to Mid-City. And everybody that's familiar with New Orleans understands what I'm saying. But it's about a 10-mile track. And I literally had to pull over on the side of the road and just wait for like 3 hours because I couldn't get to my house. Like, and this is on a regular Tuesday afternoon, heavy thunderstorm. And at that point, I was getting frustrated, but that frustration led me to start thinking of solutions. What can we start doing more to help a very aged infrastructure here in New Orleans? Like, it's an old city. Infrastructure is poor. Mm-hmm. There's supposed to be tons of money coming through for infrastructure repairs and things like that. I'm still waiting on seeing the results of some of that. Maybe there is more time I need to give it. But right now, how do we live day to day with these type of issues? And I think it's going to take personal homeowners and communities and community organizations like Healthy Community Services and WaterWise Gulf South to actually give the trainings and give the information to individual homeowners on what they can do, and also the funding sources that could help them do those things. So it's just, it's a group effort, everybody. I mean, we have a lot of problems that need solutions, especially in our community. So we just need to collaborate with those who can help us to kind of find that balance where we're actually solving problems. Because these problems cross racial lines. They cross socioeconomical lines. Mm-hmm. They cross religious lines. Everybody's dealing with the same thing.
So there have been a couple questions that have come in, you know, kind of back to this funding side, not necessarily strategic to, you know, BIPOC communities, but in general, the upfront cost and this concern that hemp is more expensive, right? And so what type of initiatives do you see that may become available or that you're seeing available or, you know, maybe tax breaks or funding grant money that's available for this upfront cost as new builders that don't have that budget, right? Because really the markets we're targeting are not those markets that have this exorbitant budget or that have the allowance to say, listen, I'm going to still grow, you know, build this small home, but I'm going to add an extra $20,000 in cost. They may not be able to do that. It's either build the home or not build the home.
Well, I think this is the question we got to ask is like, if there's monies out there to subsidize some of these costs, how do we get to that?
Yes.
If there are tax incentives that help subsidize some of these costs, who can help me figure that out? And then on the back end of that, being able to educate the consumer on why this is a better option. Because you think about it, okay, if I have somebody in that range, that lower to moderate income range, their first goal is home ownership in general. That's a major step for them and their family and their generational wealth chain. So to say to those individuals, well, you know, if you spend 20 more thousand, then you can get such a better, superior product. Well, that $20,000 is just not there. But there could be some kind of state, federal, local program that could fill that gap. And that's why I need people like you, man, in Global Hemp Association to say, hey, Joe, did you know that there's grant funding for first-time home buyers to buy more healthier, resilient homes? Well, man, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. How do I get that information to the people who can really use it? And how can I be just a conduit of that information? Like, I don't want anything out of it. Yeah, maybe they'll call or buy one of our properties, whatever. But how can I share that information with my community and be that bridge in the information chain to get it, you know, to the people that really could use it? I think everybody understands that BIPOC-led firms have issues with funding. That's why I also suggest that there has to be a little bit more of what I call group economics. Those who do have resources, pooling money together and pooling resources together in order to get some of these things done. And that's one of the things we've done with the retrofit project at Healthy Community Services in the 7th Ward in New Orleans. Me and Angela, we're pooling money together. She had some funds to do some things. I said, well, look, can you handle some of the cost of these materials? What I'll do is I'll bring the people in. We'll provide labor. We'll help promote the workshop, you know, different things like that. Like, these are all things. It's just group economics. You got a little, I got a little, somebody over there may have a little, and we put it together and we accomplish that goal. So those elements right there are key to success moving forward. Now, what I would hope and wish is that there's more federal money and state money that can come down and say, hey, Joe, we need affordable housing, period, but we would really like to build healthier, more affordable homes. And I say, yeah, well, how many? We need 100 of them. Okay, well, let's do that. And that's where we're trying to strategically position ourselves and our partners to say, hey, there's grant funding that's going to come down. You know, we need to get ready to scale this thing up. Also, before I get off this telecast, want to give a big shout out to Urban League of Louisiana and also Propeller, which are two organizations in the New Orleans area that have really helped me in my business development and just having the skills and the guts. I'll just say the guts to jump out here and really push my vision of what I see and I know can happen in this city, in this region. So I don't want anybody to feel slighted if I didn't mention you today, because we all know, like, you know, I'm a team player. I want to see everybody.
There's a lot of people out there. I always feel like as soon as I get on stage or on camera, it's like, okay, want to give some people the highlight? And it's like, oh. And as soon as we hit up, it's like a flood of all the people that have been great. And so there is a reason people write it on cue cards during.
I need a lot of them because
you did great.
It's just people investing in me, organizations investing in me. They hear my vision. I guess they can feel the passion that I have for what I want to do. And they say, well, Joe, we're going to give you the opportunity. And that's one of the things Dr. Angela Chalk did. She said, hey, this is your thing, man. Come in there. I'm giving you the space and the opportunity to prove this concept. And that's what we're doing right now. So, and then same thing with the Black Cannabis Expo and Conference. Chrissy Price said, hey, I've been hearing about what you're trying to do. We talked a couple times. I talked to her cousin, Erin Hayes. Big shout out to her, Erin Hayes with Reserve NOLA. She kind of tied us all together last year when the conference was here in New Orleans, and it just kept growing because I knew I wanted to make a long-term commitment to that conference and that organization and this movement in the greater Gulf South, you know, because we have so many more states in the southern region that are coming online with medical cannabis. Pretty soon, hopefully going recreation. You know, this thing is growing by leaps and bounds very fast. It's time. And to borrow a line from Outkast, y'all, the South has something to say. The South has something to say. We definitely understand our role and where we're at, but we also understand how we've been systematically disenfranchised by very racist cannabis laws and policies. So we want to reverse that. And we want to reverse that for ourselves first.
Well, I'm impressed. Like I said, you've got an ally in us. We'd love to collaborate. I'd love to help, you know, be this conduit, like you said, for information so we can get it to the people that are going to use it. I did send you a calendar invite for the reoccurring grant meeting so that we can start. It may be something short. It may be 1 week we don't have any new grants. It may be another week that five of us have found some really powerful grants. Sandra, I saw in here also, you know, you may want to consider some crowdfunding options and ideas. And that's something we can talk about, right? Is throw together. We've seen that. And Sandra, I'll add you to that grant email as well. So anybody else that's looking to collaborate and put grants together and, like I said, really build these teams for the right reasons. I also recognize that not every group or every partnership is going to be for everybody. So we are not setting this up with the intent that this has to work, but with the intent of providing opportunities to really dive into some grants and get some projects together. From this, I assume that we'll break off into smaller groups so that only the grant people working on specific grants will be sharing details. And so I want there to be the value add there that this is really a brainstorming discussion to what grants are available and how do we open them up so that more people in our industries can start to receive funding for these, you know, all these purposes, all these reasons. We
talk about. It's partnerships, it's collaboration. It's individuals like John Renthorpe, who's the executive director of the New Orleans Black Chamber of Commerce, who's always been very supportive of these ideas that I've had. We talked a couple months ago, and he was like, because I did a pitch competition, and I brought the hemp building to the forefront. And, you know, we have public officials who are also very interested. You know, so it's like there's individuals that see and ready to be more progressive in thought in our area. And that's what we need. You know, it's like one of those things, hey man, what we doing ain't working. So what can we do differently and how do we get there? And I realize that we do need information and assistance from those outside of the region in order to make that difference. And it's like, that's fine with me because I'll go anywhere. I'll go to Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I'll go to, you're in Salt Lake City, it don't really matter to me because I understand that, you know, you can't do everything where you're at. You know, sometimes you have to get information from other places and bring it back and to teach those who can't move around like you can. And just, like I said, be that conduit of information to make sure that, you know, everybody's getting equal access to the information. If I can get the information, I feel like I can make it work. You know,
yes, Yeah. Well, and you've got the passion and the drive. So Joel, thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm impressed. I'm extremely blessed, I guess, to be standing next to more people that are passionate for the right reasons and really working to, you know, build and lift other people. So thank you for everything that you're doing. It's exciting.
Shout out to you for letting me come on your platform and talk. And I know there's a lot more that can be done. So I want to say thanks to you because you didn't have to do this, you know. So I'm all forever grateful.
Oh, I'm excited about your progress. I'm excited to show it again. So as you continue to develop, let's check back in and let's share your progress. And as soon as I can come down, I would love to connect. In fact, I don't know if you know Shane Mutter. He's in Louisiana. I'll have to connect you. He'd be a great person. He's involved in the industry also with Element 6 Dynamics. So great members, great supports of our association, of what we're doing. So thank you again, Joel, for everything. How real quick, if somebody wants to get involved or has questions, how do they reach you?
Okay, so you can go on social media. Our Instagram is GRO_enterprises. That'd probably be the best and easiest way to get at us. And our website is growgroenterprises.biz. So those are the two main ways to get at us. Follow us on Instagram and just direct message me. I'm kind of old school with just calling and getting with people, but I'm slowly getting more social media savvy so people can contact us like that. So we're going to actually be posting a lot of good video and information over the next several days about the work we're doing with the Black Cannabis Expo and Conference, and also with the Retrofit Project we're doing at Healthy Community Services in New Orleans. So it's a good time to follow us.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to see the videos. Please share them with us. I'd love to push them out. I'd love to highlight what you're doing and kind of show it off, especially being in the area you are, right? There's been a lot of questions too. What kind of processing is going on down there? So of you that had questions, if you had questions and we didn't get to them, please reach out. Other than that, please reach out to Joel or myself offline. We'd love to collaborate and help support you. And Joel, I look forward to connecting with you again here in the near future.
For sure. I appreciate you, Mandy, and let's keep doing the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate everything. And we'll see you real quick. I forgot to mention, next week we've got another awesome interview. And then I'll be up in Montana. So if anybody's up in Montana, I will be up traveling, going to visit Rusty. Congratulations for the new job at IND Hemp. But visiting with him and Chris from US One Logistics. They're a fabulous logistics company. If you don't know who they are, be sure to connect. And then again, just a reminder, if you guys have questions or are looking to connect with specific people, Global Hemp Association membership gives you a directory where you can connect with people. We've laid out the processors. And then we're also doing our fiber trials and collecting data that we should have back by the end of this month. So it's pretty exciting to highlight or to be able to see, you know, what genetics are working where, and really some consistent up and downs with different genetics. And so it's exciting to be able to put that out so we can help. And then our goal next year, Joel, is to do a grain and fiber trial in Louisiana in multiple states, partnered with a local university. And so let's talk a little bit more about that offline, because obviously that's a goal for next year, depending on our grant and our funding. So please support Global Hemp Association, become a member, donate on our Friends of Hemp campaign. We've got a great match coming up here at the end of this month for the Good Giving Challenge, so you can double your donation or double the value of your donation. But thank you guys very, very much. We'll see you next time, Joel.
All right, see you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, you guys. See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
First of all, thank you so much.
I'm really proud of what you're doing, Mandy.